This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chemsky behind the screen, now dribbles in, stops, finds Draymond, topside, another triple, yes! Back-to-back threes for Draymond, 66-54 is the score.
Ooh, we might get another one up.
Yeah, I think the lights be a little more green there for number 23.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. That was Draymond Green last night as the Warriors come up winners over the Memphis Grizzlies in a forgettable fourth quarter. This game was pretty much in hand throughout, even though the Memphis Grizzlies, I think, very conscientious about the point differential and the in-season tournament, or the Emirates NBA Cup, as it's officially known, making this mad dash, but It was brutal at times in that fourth quarter, but the Warriors hang on for the victory, and more importantly, at the end of the day, improved to 10-2 on the season. And Draymond Green continues to shoot it and shoot it at a high clip from three-point territory. He's still over 50%, I want to say. And the Warriors do it a different way. Last night, again, it was the defense, and it was a lethargic performance, I think, for the most part, from your go-to stars, namely Steph Curry. I think it was a subpar performance for Andrew Wiggins as well as Jonathan Kuminga, who's been playing so well off the bench. But Buddy Hield was Buddy Hield, and he was good again. And the Warriors continue to roll along. And now, listen, man, it's getting to the point where this is becoming real. I do want to continue to talk about Draymond Green. And Draymond Green, once again, getting the technical fouls last night and toss from yet another basketball game. First of all, Sammy, where are you at with Draymond? I know you intimated in the previous break that, you know, as long as his team continues to win, it sort of diffuses the eyesore at times, that being Draymond Green. But Draymond, first of all, getting kicked from last night's game and sort of his overall play this year compared to, of course, the turbulence we went through at this juncture a year ago with Draymond.
Yeah, last year when he said it was the most important season of his career, and he ended up missing, you know, a third of that season. But, Dan, you talk about it. I mean, the first thing that jumped out to me this year, it's the three-point shooting. I mean, I think it's the fourth game in a row that he's had multiple threes, which I think ties a career high. Last night for Draymond, 5-11 shooting, 3-7 from three, 8 rebounds, 13 points. He was a plus 6 overall, 7 assists. He's just such complete stat sheets here that he's filling out. And so it's... The Warriors, I think they're 50. Let me make sure I have this number right here. 55-7 when Draymond hits three or more threes in his career. He's feeling the 3-point shot right now. He's shooting 45% from 3-point right now, which would be far and away the best he's ever done in his career. He shot 39% from three last year, so he was better from three last year. But he was only taking about two threes per game last year. taking about three threes per game this year, 3.5 officially, according to Basketball Reference. Yeah, go back to the 2017-18 season to find a time when Draymond was cranking up the three at that rate. So he is rediscovering his stroke. He is rediscovering that three-point stroke. And when Draymond is locked in on offense, the Warriors are just such a different team. And that's what I'm really liking from Draymond Green this year. Getting ejected last night, you're honestly able to look, you're looking the other way on it this time because, I mean, for one, I thought it was an incredibly soft tech that he got at the end. He wanted a travel call to be called on Jalen Wells when he ran into Moses Moody. Moody got called for the blocking foul. Draymond immediately turned to the official. I don't know if it was Andy Nagy that he was yelling at. It was either Brian Forte or Andy Nagy. I couldn't catch which one it was. And he just yelled, "Yo, travel!" Immediately gets the tech there. And then about a minute later, he gets the second tech. Seemed to mouth some sort of naughty word that starts with an F at the ref. And don't mean to rhyme there. And gets tossed there. Steve Kerr was laying into the refs last night, too, at the end of that game. So there was definitely emotions on both of those guys there. I just seem like refs getting a little too trigger happy with the tees, though, last night.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because a year ago, remember the refs after the All-Star game were letting him play? And I really enjoyed that. It was not disruptive. It was fluid. You could watch basketball, and it was entertaining. They were getting up and down the floor. You weren't stopping because of a whistle every 10 seconds. And then, you know, I think that there were some that felt as though, even Steve Kerr chimed in, that they, you know what, it was getting a little out of hand. So it looked as though in the beginning part of this season that they had reached a happy medium, that they weren't over-officiating, and then they weren't just simply swallowing the whistle and letting him, you know, have complete run and chaos out there. That there was just this, it was a tight ship. Last night, I think, got away from them. And the reason why I know there was a lot of talk of this in the post game as to what it is that Draymond said, why did he get tossed, I don't think it's necessarily what it is that he did in terms of the incident per se, or I don't think that it's isolated as to what exactly did he say or what is it that he did that falls under the heading of him being removed and ejected from a basketball game. I think when it comes to Draymond, especially last night, and you see this if you watch enough Draymond Green and Warrior basketball, it's the accumulative effect, is that he barks and he whines and he's in ref's face for four quarters. And I think towards the latter part of the game, the refs are just, that's enough, brother. I'm going to run you.
Well, he's got a reputation. And the refs know that. He knows that. And reputation absolutely comes into play when the refs are dealing with him. I mean, his reputation was a big reason why he was suspended indefinitely last year. Now, choking out Rudy Gobert and smacking Yusuf Nurkic in the face, yes, that's going to be a big part of it. But when it's Draymond Green doing those things, yeah, the league's going to drop the hammer a little bit harder on him because he has that history. That's who he has become. And last year, it just seemed like far too often he would let the emotions of the moment dictate his actions, much to the detriment of the Warriors. This year, though, last night aside, there's been times where he's barking at the refs. There's times where he's barking at other guys. But he backs off before it hits that point of no return.
Yeah, he walks right to the razor's edge.
Yeah, he's better, I think, at towing that line, whereas last year he would just, you know, skip across it thinking that everything was going to be okay. It just seems like he's got a different mindset this year in terms of just, he knows that he screwed up last year. He knows that he left a very important season, as he said, on the table. This year, though, it's just something different. Something different about the attitude, something different about just how he's playing out there. The offensive force that he is, that, you know, when he is dialed in on offense, the difference it makes, it's crazy to say this. I was crushing Draymond before this season started, saying that, you know, because we all know the Warriors go as Draymond Green goes. Steph Curry is the face, and he's the superstar, and he's the guy who's most important, blah, blah, blah. But Draymond, he is the heart and soul of the Warriors. He has always been the guy who, when he's going, the Warriors are going. And maybe it just the message dawned on him. Maybe the way that these last two seasons played out, something clicked. And right now, so far, 12 games into this season, it's crazy to say this, but I think we start believing in Draymond Green again, which is wild to say after the last two, three seasons.
I've always believed in Draymond Green, but I cannot buy in that he's changed or he's different. I can't.
Well, I'm not going to say he's a full 180 change, yeah. But to say this is the same Draymond as last year, though, Dan, I don't like that's an inaccurate statement. I'd be curious to hear from Dub Nation, 888-957-9570. Are we all in on believing on Draymond Green now? Or if you're not, what do you need to say? What do you need to see from him? Just where are we at, Warrior fans, on Draymond Green? I want to hear from you guys. 888-957-9570.
He's the same guy, and he'll always be the same guy. It's simmering, right? It hasn't exploded, but he's still the same cat.
I realize how ridiculous it sounds saying, like, no, I think he's better this time.
Well, because he's always...
He's figured it out. God, no, guys, I really think he's different this time.
Listen, if he's going to punch Jordan Poole into next Tuesday and then take time off and go through all of that personal internal work and trying to find out who he is as a person, that was supposed to be the first lever of change. I've got to find out who I am, and this isn't, forget about basketball, I have to change as a person. Yeah, okay, I'm buying it. I think he's going to change. 6 months later, he's got Rudy Gobert in a headlock. Well, I'm going to change after this. I'm getting suspended for 5 games. I've got to change. You talked about it, what he did to Nurkic, and that was an indefinite suspension. He contemplated retirement.
So he says.
I've got to change. Steve Kerr, I can't handle another Steve Kerr press conference or a Draymond Green press conference.
It got exhausting. Well,
it's probably going to happen, but the idea of him, now I'm really going to change because I just got suspended indefinitely. So I got suspended for 17 games, 12 after Nurkic. I'm going to change. And I'm sorry, brother. I still love you. But you are who you are, all right? You're a little,
but
you're
the
not
same
very
time,
stable.
Though, but at the same time, though, Dan, I mean, it's hard to deny the attitude that you're seeing from him on a day-to-day basis and the play that you're seeing from him on a game-to-game basis. It's so much better than what we've seen these last couple years.
Oh, like, yeah. He's keeping his nose clean for now.
If you want to say that if you want to sit there and say, no, he has not completely changed, yeah, I'll agree with you on that. I don't think he got thrown out of the game last night. You know, there's still going to be a little bit of Draymond, but we all know that you need that little bit
no
of Draymond.
Doubt.
The Draymond
no doubt.
Green in his prime was still getting teed up. The Draymond Green in his prime was still getting thrown out of games. You know, the Draymond Green in his prime chased Kevin Durant away. Like, Draymond Green has never been without his issues, never been without his problems. I mean, he went an entire month where he's kicking guys in the nuts during the playoffs. Like, it's always been controversial. The guy sat in a luxury box at an A's game while an NBA Finals game that his team was playing in was taking place, you know, 300 yards away from him. Like, so the craziness of Draymond Green, the suspensions, the frustrations there, like, those aren't new. Those are never going to go away. But this is the thing. The but here with Draymond Green has always been, as long as the production outweighs the nonsense, I can look the other way on it. It's going to be harder some days than others. But when he punched Jordan Poole a couple of years ago, that was a breaking point for me. Because now your nonsense has compromised this season. It's compromised a very important player in the Warriors' rotation. And when we had to ship Jordan Poole away, it compromised the Warriors' future. Now, I'm not saying that Jordan Poole was going to be the dude who took over for Steph Curry, but Jordan Poole was expected to be one of the focal points of the next generation of Warriors basketball.
Well, that was a mistake in and of itself. That's a whole other conversation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. We don't need to go down that conversation then. But this year, though, with Draymond Green, it feels like the pendulum has swung back. The nonsense is down. The production is up. And if we're going to crush Draymond Green during the dark times, let's prop him up and acknowledge the fact that he's getting the job done as he's expected to right
Nobody's,
now.
Okay, maybe this is getting misconstrued. I'm not crushing him.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, like, in the last couple years, we've crushed Draymond Green for the nonsense outweighing the production. A lot of people love coming at Draymond during that time. Say, as the pendulum swung back here, let's give the guy his credit. He's doing the right things this year.
I think he's always been the same guy. And to your point, that's who he is. And he has to be that. He has to live on that razor's edge. He has to be at that emotional level in order for him to be the productive basketball player that he is. He's wired differently. But the idea of change, I just cannot be sold that bill of goods anymore. He may be keeping it under wraps, but it's still there simmering, just like, you know, that volcano out in the Kilauea out in Hawaii. At some point, it's going to erupt because things don't change at this age of your life. I don't want to hear about change. Do I like the guy? I've always been a Draymond Green fan. And I know that's difficult to say because there's a lot of warts on the guy, but he is who he is. And the idea of somebody trying to tell me, not you specifically, but Draymond Green and maybe even the Warriors PR staff that, no, this time it's different. No, it's not, but that's okay because I don't want the cat to change. The phone lines are open once again at 888-957-9570. Let's get out to Greg, who's on the road and wants to talk about Draymond. Greg, what's going on, man?
Hey, Greg.
Hey, man, I hear you guys talking about Draymond and whatnot, but and speaking of change, I mean, him doing the work or saying that he had to do the work in order to change, you know, sometimes you have to read a book twice in order to understand it. You know what I mean? Some people have to read them three times before they really understand it. And maybe he actually gets it. You know what I mean? Of course, he's going to be the same, you know, the same guy fundamentally. But, you know, changing the nuance of what he's doing on the court and how he's acting towards his teammates and whatnot, that can be accomplished. It's just basketball, man.
Thanks, Greg.
It's well said.
Did you see last night? So I spent years defending him that he wasn't a dirty player. Like, I know he's highly emotional, but I wouldn't go there. Going back to 2016 when he got suspended and he hit LeBron on the package when LeBron stepped over him. Mm-hmm. I said, that was just instinctive. That was inadvertent. I don't think there was any purpose behind that. I even defended him as far as when he kicked Steven Adams in the package.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was all, everyone started going through Zapruder's film style, looking for past instances of Draymond kicking his leg out. And yeah, he did have a habit of doing that. So,
but you know, I think I am representative of the typical sports fan. Like, if he played for any other team, I would say that is one of the dirtiest SOBs I've ever seen, and I can't stand him. When he's with the Warriors, because we're familiar with him, I give this guy a pass. And I know that he is who he is, but I enjoy him. I like his personality. Maybe that's on me, but I enjoy the way he plays, and I love the energy. And as you mentioned, the Warriors feed off of that. But you know, at the end of the day, he is a dirty basketball player. Did you see what it is that he did last night? You want to talk about change and kicking Steven Adams? This is very subtle. Maybe a lot of people haven't talked about it or saw it. But when he felt as though he was fouled on a drive against Zach Edey, and they both tumbled and Zach Edey picked up the ball and they started to go the other way, and he grabbed Zach Edey. You couldn't see it in real time. But as they replayed it, he's got Zach Edey by the ankles, and he puts this little move on his ankle. And I'm like, bro. So, again.
And you see, it's those moments like that, yep.
But, Sammy, let's just take you back to last year. Remember the tenuous ground he was on after he came back after the indefinite suspension? And everybody's like, oh, my goodness, he was on pins and needles. If he even looks at a referee crooked, this could be the end of his career we were talking about. We may never see Draymond again if he gets another technical. Remember that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about where we're at today, what it is that he did to Zach Edey where they're like, they replayed it and they said, that's a technical. Can you imagine if he did that to Zach Edey after coming back from that indefinite suspension, where Draymond Green would be today?
He probably would not be on the Warriors' active roster right now if that was the case last year. But you know, I think that's, yeah, it. Nothing ever changes overnight. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, this, I'm not going to sit here and say this is the new Draymond Green. All I'm simply going to say is that the what we're seeing from Draymond right now is he is doing and playing in a way that I think a lot of Warrior fans wanted to see from him last year. The edgy stuff like that, the grabbing Zach Edey, you don't like it. But I think we're all at a point where we know that complaining about it isn't going to make it go away. It's on the Warriors there to have controlled that years ago. And the fact of the matter is the Warriors have never once controlled Draymond Green. They've always kind of placated him. We've had Joe Lacob come into the studio here on the Morning Roast and talk about Draymond Green and talk about, you know, he's not gonna sugarcoat anything with Draymond Green. But then he goes to start sugarcoating everything with Draymond Green. You know, I'll always remember Mike Dunleavy's intro presser where they asked him about Draymond Green, and Lacob said, you know, we got a guy here that he knows that, you know, he's got to change things, but we fully believe that he's going to change. It's all good. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I remember listening to that time, and I'm just like, they don't get it. Like, the biggest issue for Draymond Green, or one of the bigger issues with Draymond Green on the Warriors, is that the Warriors constantly just have done very little to rein him in. He cursed out Kevin Durant on the sideline, and they made him miss a game. You know, he punched Jordan Poole, and they had him just take a weekend away from the team. He didn't miss ring night. He didn't miss any regular season games. Eventually, you get to a point where, you know, if your superiors aren't going to punish you for your transgressions, why should you really be all that worried about any sort of repercussions for those transgressions when it's become obvious that the in-house punishments won't work? That's why the league needed to step in last year and drop the indefinite suspension on him. And I don't know if it registered right away, maybe having the offseason to think about it, maybe seeing Clay leave and that reality setting in. Kind of, again, is it a full wake-up job? Who knows? But Draymond's smelling the coffee right now, and he's realizing there's changes that need to be made. And you're seeing it in how he's playing every night on the floor right
now. I think he's playing really well, but I don't see change. He's still the same cat, man. He's still grabbing dudes by the ankle.
Hey, we have a bet on the Morning Roast right now of over under 65 games that Draymond Green will play this year. I believe Bonte has the over, Shasky has the under.
Put me on that
one.
Under.
Really?
888-957-9570.
Starting to feel that over.
Let's get the Cruisers hanging out in the 209.
Oh, my man, Cruiser.
Wait, Cruiser, can I guess where you are on the 209? Are you in Dos Palos?
I am not. I'm over here chilling in the just outside of River Islands. River Islands is overrated. You don't want to go there.
In Lathrop?
Yes, sir. I'm in Lathrop.
Love River Islands. Gotta discover the islands.
So, yeah, whatever. what's up, my brother Loveman and Devon? Look, man, look, I agree with you, but you can't have it both ways, okay? What I mean by that is Draymond's greatest strength is also his greatest weakness, okay? We need him to turn it up at times defensively. He does it, and at times that his radiator overboils, and then once it blows, we all know what happens, okay? So, I think, however, I didn't see the game last night, so everything that happened, I'm hearing about it after the fact. But I'm thinking now with Clay leaving, I think that Dre kind of hasn't pulled a 180. He's not a different person all of a sudden, but I think now he's realizing that there's a shelf life on everybody, including him. And if you were to ask me like years ago, which one of the three would be the first one to be gone? I would have said Draymond because of his attitude and because of his antics, right?
Yep.
But now it's apparent that obviously Clay is out, and I think Dre is kind of realizing that, hey, without Clay, all right, the stool's already lost one of its true supports. So now he realizes that he still needs that dog to be effective, but at the same time, he's also realizing that there isn't another person on the team like Clay that's going to bring it, but at the same time also serve as a leaky part of the vessel. And there's also no one else on the team that's going to be have that attitude like Poole did. I'm not saying he deserved to get hit. I don't agree with that. But at the same time, Poole was kind of having an attitude like he was getting bigger than his britches. And then Clay last year, we already knew that he was in a bad space mentally because he wasn't where he thought he deserved to be, perhaps. Right. So, but now that he sees the team gelling, he doesn't necessarily have to be that angry guy to kind of boost the team because everybody seems to be pulling their own weight. So him getting tossed last night, again, I didn't see it. I heard about it. So from what I've heard, it kind of sounds like the officiating last night was frustrating to begin with. So with a guy like Draymond, he's going to lose his patience with something like that. And these refs now, you're right. He has a reputation. It's not going to take a whole lot for him to get tossed. So this is going to happen. This is Draymond we're talking about, okay? But as far as him completely changing, I don't think that's happened. Rather, I think he's realizing now he doesn't necessarily have to be the one to do something crazy in order to stimulate the team. I think they're able to do that on their own. And things like last night are going to happen now and then. But by and large, I think he's really playing more focused, more controlled than he has been. because he realizes now his needs are going to be elsewhere, and he doesn't necessarily have to be the bull in the china shop. So we'll see. I'm not going to give away my jerseys, my Draymond jersey just yet, but we'll see. We'll see. But I'm still just fingers crossed that we're going to have a heck of a season. Lux, you still owe me some money, Reese, bro. You're not off the hook.
Oh, man, we'll make it happen at some point, man, all right? We'll get you out to a Giants game next year. We'll make it happen, all right? How are the onion rings out in River Islands?
Oh, no, dude. No, you got to get the onion rings from the Bay, bro.
Okay, all right, we'll get better onion rings then. All right, sounds good, Cruiser.
Cruiser, some good points on Draymond Green. Look, Draymond is who he is, and he has to live and be on that high wire act, I think, at this point. He's always got to be, you know, the worst case scenario for a Draymond Green performance, if I'm watching the Warriors, if you get the feeling like he's disinterested, if he's not working the referees, if he's not running to Steve Kerr on the bench saying, yet. replay that.
He's not pointing out, telling Pods where to go stand. Yeah.
If I don't see that, or he's not running onto the floor and picking up Moody if he crashes into the basketball standard, then I'm like, uh-oh, he's not. And it happens throughout the course of 82 games. You take some nights off. When he's not bought in.
Well, that was the entire 1920 season.
The Golden State Warriors are not a good team. So keep in mind that you take the good with the bad. He's going to ride refs. He's going to get tossed. He's going to do things that might abhor some people. But that's who he is. That's who he's always been. And that's what the Warriors rely on, is that emotional intensity. So you take the good with the bad. We'll continue with the Draymond Green talk. We'll talk about the Golden State Warriors now, 10-2 on the season. Are they for real? We'll address that next. Sam Lubin, Dan Avone, Jersey Ken here on a Saturday in Warriors This Week.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Curry and Williams collide. Curry the steal. There is contact there. Curry stops at the hash mark. New millennium fast break for number 30. And that three ball gives Golden State a 13-point lead.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
In a game that the Warriors pretty much had in control right from the outset, they hang on in an ugly fourth quarter to win it over the Memphis Grizzlies. They improved to 10-2. Up next, a Monday affair with the Los Angeles Clippers as they look to atone. The Clips, one of only two teams, that being the Cleveland Cavaliers, that have defeated the Golden State Warriors this year. By the way, the Cavaliers, undefeated, yet very little talk, or at least any sort of notoriety for a team that's looking to go 15-0. I don't know, some disrespect for what could be the coach of the year, Kenny Atkinson.
Former Warriors assistant coach Kenny Atkinson. Yeah, it's Cleveland's off to the best start of any team since the Warriors 24-0 start back in the 15-16 season.
Yeah, it's a legitimately good basketball team.
It is a very, very good basketball team. I mean, Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell have been a great 1-2 punch. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, that's just an unfair pair to have down low under the rim there. So it is, they are a lot of fun to watch.
They were good last year. It's just the injuries that sort of, and it's one of those that, you know, if you're a coach Everybody wants an opportunity to be an NBA coach because there's only so many positions that are available, but you want to go to the right situation. Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr coming to the Warriors where the foundation was sort of put in place.
Yeah, the perfect players for his system.
And the same thing with Atkinson. I think, you know, J.J. Redick to a certain degree, you know, sometimes you get an opportunity where it's not a rebuild and you're taking over in Charlotte and you're going to get, you know, shuttled out after 2 years. But taking over that Cleveland team, which, keep in mind, went to the second round of the playoffs a year ago and had all those players coming back, they were just injured.
They've been building up for the last couple of years, too. You see them just getting better and better. The Donovan Mitchell trade was a great move for them. They've had a solid foundation for the last couple of years. And this year, it seems like, yeah, they're having their it's-all-coming-together moment. And they are going to be a massive threat to the Celtics in the East this year.
Well, welcome back to Warriors This Week. And this week saw the return, the much-awaited return of one Klay Thompson, who came back this time in a different uniform, playing for the Dallas Mavericks. And the Golden State Warriors and the Mavericks played in what there's only one way to describe it, and I think that was an epic regular season game. That was a game that had the playoff intensity, not first-round playoff. That was semifinal Game 7 semifinal intensity. And the Warriors came up winners. I think it goes a long way in terms of trying to explain away last night's sort of lethargic performance on the part of the Warriors, because I think that emotionally they were just gassed. And first of all, just your sort of overall takeaway from whether you want to talk about Klay's return, whether you want to talk about Steph closing once again, or just sort of your thoughts on what took place on Tuesday night.
It was really cool seeing. I think my favorite part of the night was when Klay walked down the tunnel and he had all the Warriors team employees
that was awesome.
Cheering for him. I think he had 400 team employees there giving him that ovation, wearing their captain's hats. And someone found a close-up image, or someone zoomed in close on Klay, and you could see the shimmer of a tear in the corner of his eye. That was really beautiful to see. I think Klay was kind of, from what I heard, it seemed like Klay was kind of against any sort of fanfare, which doesn't surprise me. That's just kind of the guy who Klay is. He's, you know, he kind of likes to be low-key in that sense. But yet seeing the emotions kind of building up behind his glasses there, that was really cool to see. I'll be honest, like watching, like the fact that it immediately opened up with Steph right on Klay was really cool. I think we needed to see that right off the bat just to kind of get that part out of the way. I'll be honest though, Dan, watching that whole night play out, I'm not going to say that I wish Klay Thompson did not leave, because I do think that things had kind of progressed to a point last year where Klay had to go. It was time for him to move on. Just sometimes it's just how things go in life. You know, if you're out there driving around your car right now, or if you're listening at home or on the Odyssey app, which you can download for free at the App Store, you know, there's probably been a time where you person listening have been at a job where one day things just kind of took a turn. It's no one's fault. It's just sometimes you just need to go into a different direction. And I think that's what happened last year. I don't think it's anyone's fault. I don't think Klay was, you know, purposely trying to be one thing. I don't think the players were purposely trying to do anything in response. It devolved. And there's a lot of reasons why it devolved.
Wait, I want to interrupt for a second. Yeah. Do you think Klay feels that way?
Do you think Klay feel like he had to move on?
No. Do you think that Klay feels as though nobody was at fault?
Probably not. I mean, yeah. These guys, they have egos, so they're probably gonna point fingers here. I'm sure it's one of those things that 20 years from now, when we watch the docu series on this team, that the Klay episode is gonna probably be the most watched episode, because there's gonna be a lot of interesting nuggets there.
Holy cannoli!
Exactly. And so it just but seeing that all that seeing. Tuesday night, like, I wish it didn't come to that. Like, these three really should have. I think, you know, when it was Cruiser said it, that if there was ever a guy who I thought would leave this team first, it would be Draymond. The idea of Klay being the first to go never really crossed my mind. But seeing it now, like, actually playing out on the court, it's like, man, that era is actually over. Like, yes, he moved on and everything. We had all summer to kind of digest it, and we talked about it ad nauseum here at the station. You know, we saw the 31 jersey at the beginning of the year. But when he actually stepped onto that court, You know, and you had Franco Finn get him with the "He's back." That's where it really started to hit. Like, the Klay Thompson era is legitimately over. And I'm sure there's people out there who are thinking, oh, well, maybe we'll get, you know, a farewell season with him or something like that. That's not guaranteed. But yeah, it was, it hurt to watch. I'm going to be honest, Dan. It hurt to watch because it's just, if there was, like, it's hard to play your entire career with one team. We all know that. But it just felt like the Warriors had everything ready for them to accomplish that, not once, not twice, but with three guys at the same time. And it just sucks that that's not going to be the case.
I'm so over it. I'm so glad that it's over.
I think, I mean, no, to a degree, yes, I'm happy too, because again, it was a strain on both sides. Klay had a rough year last year. And there were nights where, yeah, he would basically shoot the Warriors out of a game in the first quarter. And he would go shot hunting. Remember, I think it was like about a third into the season last year, they had to have a team meeting and just be like, Klay, dude, stop. Like, and I think a big part of it is, and Anthony Slater wrote a great piece in The Athletic on that came out on Tuesday morning that kind of detailed some of Klay's emotions there. And in it, he quoted Steve Kerr, and you know, Steve Kerr was kind of talking about how, you know, one thing we don't really talk about with Klay's injury is, I think Klay was, what, 28 years old when he tore his ACL in Game 6? I mean, that's when an NBA player's prime is. You know, the 27 to 32 window is the prime years of an NBA player. And Klay Thompson basically spent the entire years that would have been his prime years. I mean, think how good Klay was before the injury. You know, the years that would have been even better than that, he spent in rehab. That's going to do something to a guy's psyche. That's going to make a guy think a certain way. And that's going to impact, and I don't care who you are, that's going to impact how he plays. And I think that's what we were seeing the last couple of years.
I think, and maybe I don't speak for all Warrior fans. In fact, I know I don't. Because I know there was the emotion that you talked about. But because the team is playing so much better this year, that as a fan, you get a little greedy. And you think about, I just know that, and I'm not necessarily a Warrior fan. I'm more objective than a lot of people here at 95.7 The Game. But I do know my
Someone
fandom.
Has to be. Yeah.
And I do, and I recognize my fandom. And as a fan, to me, I hate to sound callous here, but I see a guy that no longer fit with his team, that no longer was a two-way basketball player. And the last time I saw him in a Golden State Warrior uniform, he was scoreless against Sacramento in the play-in game. And guys were just using him defensively. Keegan Murray was searching him out. Harrison Barnes was like, put me on a switch with this guy because he couldn't do it defensively.
He did not have the step that he used to have.
He was a liability defensively. And what are they at right now? They're all about defense. They're all about energy. They're all about young legs. This team no longer fits what it is that Klay Thompson does. That Klay Thompson is clearly not a fit. So, again, looking at it from that narrow view.
Well, I don't know if this team fit what Klay Thompson did. Because the skill set that Klay Thompson brought to the table once upon a time fits with anything. I mean, his ability, the catch-and-shoot ability, that three-point shot, that is a fit on any team.
Right now.
But
do you want Klay Thompson right now on this basketball team?
But no, I think where the fit falls apart is I don't think so much that, you know, Klay Thompson was in a fit with the Warriors. I just think it's the skills are too diminished, I think, to really be at a place where keeping him made sense. Like, I think that's where it's at. It's just because the shot was not reliant. He was not, he couldn't do anything on defense. And yeah, he was never, he can't create his own shot.
So when I say fit, he's more of a fit in Dallas. When you have that gravitational pull because Luka's got the ball, Kyrie's got the ball, and so when you reverse the basketball, Klay, just be hanging out on the other side, set your feet, and we're just going to give you a diet of threes, okay? That's the one thing they couldn't do a year ago. That, to me, quote-unquote, is a fit. What the Warriors are doing this year is not a fit because it's all about two-way basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, it's a fit for Klay, as you mentioned, back when he was 26, 27, 28. Right now, it is no longer a fit,
no,
in my estimation, with Klay Thompson. That's what it is.
No, the brand of basketball that Klay is able to play, no, I don't think it fits. And I think you saw that at times last year. That's why I think they tried to put him on the bench, too, to try and maybe, you know, take some of the pressure off of him. And, you know, he did the best of his ability to kind of run with that move to the bench. But, you know, when you're Klay Thompson, that's where I think the mentality of it comes in. Like, his entire life on the Warriors has always been, you're the number two guard, but next to Steph. You're in that starting lineup, you're two-way Klay, and it's almost like he lost his Warriors identity, in a sense. Like, who he was on the Warriors. Like, the Klay Thompson of old was long gone. We had this new Klay Thompson that you saw it every now and then, but it wasn't the Klay Thompson that, you know, we expect on the Warriors. And I definitely think, like, I honestly think, Dan, most of the issues with Klay and the Warriors last year were psychological, were mental, were behind the scenes. Because there were times, I mean, he still was one of the top three-point shooters in the league last year. I think, you know, 2 years ago, he led the league in threes. Yeah. He was right up there again last year. So he had the ability. The problem was, and I'm sure at some point you're going to start to see this in Dallas too, was that the unreliability of the shot and the mental spiral that he would then go into when he couldn't find that shot. I mean, how many times were we staring at Klay going at 0 for 6, 0 for 7 night to start things off? And then, of course, in the fourth quarter, he would hit a three, and then like, oh, he's finally found it with 5 minutes left in the fourth. Like, that's just too late in the game most nights. So that's where I think that
they're beginning to see it in Dallas.
Yeah.
Because he got off to that hot start, and now they've lost four in a row. And Klay Thompson, for those of you that don't follow Dallas Maverick basketball, that game he had against the Warriors was sort of the outlier. In the first two games of the season, he was really good. But that, and even some would say that was an okay performance, but that was one of his better shooting performances. So over the last, I'd say, 2 weeks, it hasn't necessarily worked with the Dallas Mavericks because of what it is that you just said. Because he's not shooting it like he did in the early part of the season. And that's the sort of Klay that Dallas is now going to be aligned with. By the way, did you guys happen to see? And this is why I don't think it's going to work with Dallas. Because you got a team that has its two best players that are two of the worst defensive players. And albeit they bought in, I mean, it's worth mentioning, towards the second part of last year, their defense was very good. And Luka suddenly was like, hey, I'm going to play a little defense. And same with Kyrie, believe it or not. But to me, if defense isn't in the DNA, it's not going to work, man. It's got to be instinctive. You can't be reminded to play defense. And now that you add Klay into that mix, like, that's now you got three guys that, yeah, offensively you can talk about it, but on the other side of the
though, they have all the shooting court and all the spacing in the world. Defensively, it's going to be a bit of an adventure here. I mean, Dan, just looking at kind of the tail of the tape here and seeing what the numbers that Klay's doing, 14.8 points a game to start the year off. That would be, again, we're 12 games into the season, but that would be the lowest per game scoring total he's had since his rookie season. Look at, you know, offensive and defensive rating again under the asterisk or under the umbrella of, you know, it's still early in the season. He's got a 117 defensive rating, which is in line with what he's been putting up the last couple years with the Warriors on defense, and a 110 offensive rating, which is just a tick above his career average there. So on the rating wise, you know, it's about in line with what you would expect. But you look at the game-by-game basis, though, Dan, he has only crossed the 20-point threshold twice so far this season, as you mentioned, in that opening game against the Spurs, and then, of course, on Tuesday night against the Warriors. Those are the only times that Klay has shot, or Klay has scored, more than 20 points in a game. So, yeah, he's not putting up those same kind of Klay numbers that we're kind of expecting him to see. And what I kind of worry about in Dallas is here in with the Warriors and the Warriors fan base, you have the love that four rings brings you and the leash that provides. I really hope that things don't turn south with Klay in Dallas because he's got no equity with that fan base.
No. And I think that when you're sort of put in the position that he's in, that he's going to, you know, he's going to, listen, it's a somewhat of a tempered market. It's not New York. It's not Philadelphia. So the knives won't come out and necessarily go after him like they would in those markets. But, you know, he'll hear it if they don't play well. Look, I wouldn't say that this is a different Klay. This is sort of what I think why the reason why is, again, getting back to me as a fandom, I was completely fine with him going out the door because the Warriors are better without him physically. And also, I think that he became somewhat of a cancer in the locker room and that that was part, we talk about the joy and everybody being sort of bought into this year's team. A lot of it is because Clay is no longer here. And whatever rift that existed between him and management, it was real. But I do want to get back to just really quick what I was talking about and my thoughts on Dallas's defense. If you happen to watch the game the other night, who's that they were playing? Oh, Utah. So they lost to Utah. They lost to the Warriors, and they lost to Utah. They've lost four in a row.
Well, hey, man, well, you got Larry Marketing leading your team. You got to watch out for
and
those guys.
And so the game is in overtime. Clay hits a bucket with seconds to go, a three to tie it up in OT. There's just about less than 10 seconds to go. And so here comes Utah with the basketball, and Jordan Clarkson has it. And he throws, this is their seconds left, right? He just throws a bullet pass to a guy who's wide open under the hoop who dunks it for the win. And you look at it, and it was a snapshot. It was just absolutely one of those, what do they call it, a microcosm of who they are defensively. And you look at it, and Luka is just standing there. Like, the game's on the line, and he
That's
just...
That's the Luka effect.
And Luka
for
is literally got his back to the basketball, and the guy catches it and dunks it in front of him.
Was he complaining to a ref?
No, he just stood there. And it was one of the... You know, I don't think I've ever seen that before. And that, to me, is quintessential as to who the Dallas Mavericks are defensively. That was just, that summed up who he is as a basketball player. Disinterested on the defensive end, one of the best offensive players. But anyways.
Yeah, no one's looking at the Mavericks last year as a defensive juggernaut. That just looked like a team
last year. They played better, though.
They played well. It's just
defensively, they bought in towards the latter part of the season, which is one of the reasons why they went as far as it did.
Yeah, I feel like the Mavericks were a team last year that in the second half, they just caught fire. And I thought they would come out of the West when the playoffs started, just because when the playoffs started, you know, the last, you know, 3-4 weeks heading into the playoffs, I don't think there was a team in the West that was playing better basketball than the Dallas Mavericks last year, at least in the Western Conference. I mean, the Celtics were far and away better than the rest of the competition in the NBA. The Mavericks just happened to be the hottest team in the Western Conference when the playoffs started. And, you know, they rode that hot wave into the finals, and they gave us the answer to the question, is it better to be good or is it better to be hot?
Yeah.
And, you know, their magic kind of, you know, wore out there in the finals when they ran into that buzzsaw that was Boston. And, you know, they responded by trying to get more shooting. And, you know, as we look at Klay Thompson, his start to the season, again, it's 41% shooting from the field. That'll be a career low. 37% from three. That would also be a career low. So, yeah, it's the...
If you were the Warriors, could you not tell Dallas that this is what you're going to get?
Well, I think Dallas absolutely knows what they're getting into. With most of these big-time contracts, especially the NBA, like, you're paying for that first year, and then you're just going to take whatever happens in the years after that. That's kind of what the Sixers, I think, are doing with Paul George, you know, who the Warriors tried to go in on this offseason. You know, Paul George, he's at 35, 36 years old now. He doesn't... like. They signed him to a 4-year deal. He is not going to be productive.
Yeah, but
Klay
Thompson is not even going to give you 1 year. That's unfortunately
what it's kind of starting to look like.
I want to get back to the Dallas game just for a moment, because I think that the emotion we saw, that raw, raw emotion on the part of Steph Curry, which you rarely see, especially in a regular season game, to me, it was an FU moment to Klay. I know. I might be the only guy taking it there, and I'm not saying...
No, you're definitely not the only person taking it there.
Oh, really?
We took a lot of calls that morning after that. You know, there is the belief that there is animosity between Klay and Steph. I mean, we know that, you know, Steph wanted to address the crowd beforehand. Klay nixed it. Klay didn't want a whole lot of fanfare. And yeah, I do think there is still some bitterness with Klay Thompson.
I don't know if there's bitterness.
I think there is a little bit.
I'm aware of it, I can't speak to conjecture about the friction between that may exist between may or may not exist. I just know what it is that I saw, and that was that emotional hoop towards the end of the game, and it was Steph Curry saying, "Get the hell out of town. I've heard enough about this. This is still my house. I built this SOB. This is about me and this basketball team and the city of San Francisco, and it starts with Steph and the last name Curry." And Klay Thompson, you and your captain hat, see ya, my man, because this is my world. Now, again, does it mean that he hates the two? I don't know. Maybe you can speak on that end more than I can. I have no idea of any history between the two. I'm just saying, for that one raw moment, it was Steph Curry saying, "F you, Klay Thompson." And I think it's rather interesting that Klay Thompson doesn't speak to these guys. He doesn't pick up a phone and talk to Draymond or Klay. There's no existing relationship between the two. So maybe there is something to what it is that you're talking about. But just for that moment in a vacuum, it was about Steph Curry saying, I'm still the dude. Mm-hmm. And
this is my house.
This is about
Well, I do
me.
Think, yeah, when you shimmy on Steph, you know, in his own house, I think that kind of woke him up a little bit. I look at it as this. It's just like you're going against your brother. You don't want to lose. And there's a little bit more of a charged energy here. I mean, that was the first time that Steph and Dre took on Klay Thompson. And it's kind of like, you know, when you break up with a girl, the next time you see her, you want to make sure that you're looking better. You know, you got, you know, that the your new girl's better looking or that you're better looking than when you left her. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of just like, you want to say that, hey, we won this breakup. You know, there's still love, but we won this breakup here. And I feel like that's kind of what Steph was trying to do. He just wanted to say that, hey, you know, when Klay leaves this building, I want everyone to know the Warriors are the ones who are on top of this right now, not the Mavericks. That's what I saw there.
I don't see it as team so much as player specific. Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I, Steph Curry, am in the better situation than you, Klay Thompson. I mean, if the Mavs win that game on Tuesday night, the entire storyline is, oh, Klay was right to leave. Man, the Warriors really screwed up letting him go. But instead, I think we ended up getting the best possible night. We got a great night from Klay Thompson, but the Warriors won, which means we got to enjoy what made Klay so good. But at the end of the day, the bigger picture is the Warriors are better off right now than they were last year.
No doubt about it. All right, let's talk about the Golden State Warriors this year. We do it every week, but is it sustainable? Where are you at now? 888-957-9570. Is this for real? Is this team not only headed to the playoffs, but just how far can they go? We'll talk about it next. Sam Lubb and Dan Avone here on Warriors This Week.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.